go with me.
Let's stand and worship together, church family. My name's Karen. We are so happy you're here this morning. I've surrendered my life to your ways. I have learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you.
Church, and I hope that you'll take a moment to please register your attendance so we can know that you are here, and be grateful for that attendance, as well as in just a moment you'll have a chance to greet your neighbor. But ACCDC's got their big fundraiser coming up. You'll see that it's November 9th from 6 to 7:30, and the kids are going to present A Night Off Broadway, and it's just such a treat. There'll be a silent auction and food and song, and it'll be a great, great night. So come and support the brand of Asbury out in our community. Our brand is ACCDC. People know us by our wonderful school. So be sure and support that. And we have the Charge Conference, which is a time that we celebrate the business of our church on November 20th, the Monday before Thanksgiving week. We also remember those who have passed on to the church triumphant. We pass our budget, and we just celebrate a lot of the good things that are happening in mission and ministry in our church. So that's a special day in the life of our church as well. Also, All Saints Sunday is next Sunday. Now, we've been asking for you to submit pictures of the people that you would like to just remember. Remember before the family of faith. So really, today was the deadline for that. Can you go home and find a picture of someone that you want to remember in your heart and remember before your body of Christ and email that to Cheryl@asbury-lr.org, and we will make sure that next Sunday that is on the screen. And all we're asking is for a picture with the name of the person, so you can email that in your text. Also, a scripture that you think of when you think of that person. Or perhaps they told you what their favorite scripture was. It's just a lovely way to commemorate those, not that have just only passed away this year, but those that have perhaps been gone a long, long time, but are dear and near to our hearts, and we want to celebrate what they meant to us in our lives. So I hope that you'll take a moment to do that as well. Also, some of you, I won't call names because that would not be very nice. You need to turn in your pledge cards. And you need to turn in your covenants. Because with that charge conference on the 20th, we have to send everything in 2 weeks earlier. So that means that by the 6th, we need everyone's information so we can adopt the budget based on what we believe is going to come into our church, and so we can adopt and continue the programs and missions and ministries of the church based on what you said on your covenant as you checked it off, what you're going to do in the life of the church in terms of your service. So those are really, really important documents, and I hope that you will definitely turn those in to us as soon as possible. And Kevin, our wonderful usher back there, is holding some in his hand, so if you'll raise your hand if you've lost yours or need a new one, he will be happy to come get that to you. So now let us stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay. All right. So what happens on Tuesday? Halloween. Besides school. Yes, you have to go to school. Ah, boo. I know. So Halloween is fun. Okay, but we're going to give you a little trick-or-treat side safety note. Be safe. Okay. Do you wear something over your face?
No.
I have glasses. Okay, well, that's fine. But, I mean, you want to be safe. You want to go to places that you know, right? And you want to travel with an adult. And y'all need to promise that next week you'll bring all the good candy to me. You'll bring me at least a Butterfinger. Hey. Okay. All right. So this morning I brought a pumpkin, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, have you gone out to the pumpkin patch and gotten your pumpkins?
Yeah.
Y'all need to do that. So what happens when you turn a pumpkin into a jack-o'-lantern? What happens? You carve it. So basically you take out the top and then you clean out the guts. That's right. The guts. And then you put what on it?
Then you put a light inside it, and then you put the top back on.
Okay, but oh, you got to put the face on. I would put the face on it first before you put the light in it.
Yeah.
You think? And some of it, you got to have a nose, you got to have eyes, you got to have a mouth. It's got to be creative. Some of our parents get very creative with their pumpkins. I've seen them on Facebook. Some of us just put stickers on them. That's the easy way. My creativity. But the reason is it goes from a pumpkin to a jack-o'-lantern. Okay, and it shines, doesn't it? You put a light in it or you put a candle in it, and it what? It shines, right? The reason why I brought it is because we need to shine, don't we? We're not making jack-o'-lanterns. That's your parents' duty. But we need to be... We need to shine like your jack-o'-lantern shines. Who do we need to shine for?
Jesus.
For Jesus. That's right. We need to be the light. And there's many ways that we can do it. We can be the light here at church. We can be the light in the community. We can be the light at school. But we need to be the light. So think about that as you're going around on Halloween. And you may have friends. You might invite a friend to go trick-or-treating with you, or if you've got an event at your school. Remember, you need to be the light and shine, just like your jack-o'-lantern shines when you create it from a pumpkin. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Let us be your light and shine for others. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Forever is the
Our prayer concerns today, you'll see listed in the bulletin several people that continue to need our prayers, and we want to also add to that list Joe Stubblefield, who has Sheffield, who has lost his stepfather, and also to Byron Southern and family in the loss of his mother. So let us be going to God in prayer. Most loving God, in this moment, you hear us. In this moment, we come to you. In this moment that you created, we love you. In this moment you created, you love us. And the fact is, God, those moments never end. For as your love is infinite, so is the time spent with us. You walk beside us, you hear our every word, you see our every action, you know our every thought. And some of those actions, words, and deeds we are ashamed of. And sometimes we repent of them. And your grace washes over those times that we do not. But as we love you more, we pray that we will grow closer to you and more mindful of you and give less thought to our selfishness, to our sin, and greater thought to your call to us in our lives of righteous living and holy ways and words. We are so proud, Lord, to be called Christian. We are so thankful, Lord, to respond to the call to serve. We ask that you pour your abundance upon our strength, our abilities, our desires to take Christ into this world. Make us more aware, Lord, of how we can do that and to whom we need to take Christ. Father, in this day, we often find our attention on things that are less spiritual and far more worldly. We pray that we might not get caught in the trap of the many ways the world lures us to engage, and that we might find honor and real peace in following the ways of the kingdom, your kingdom. So today we do pray for those who are mourning the loss of their loved ones. May they feel strength and comfort from our prayers. As we pray for those who are hurting, those who need encouragement in recent diagnoses and treatments, those who are facing surgery, may their fear be wiped away and replaced again with a great trust in you and an overwhelming sense of peace. Continue to be with our world and our leaders. Give them wisdom. We pray that wars will cease and the peace of Christ will reign. Be with all who are working toward that end. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather today, the one who taught us how to live life well, to live life full, to live life in the Spirit as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward to take our tithes and our offerings today, I do want to remind you that there are several items that were purchased from Hog on the Hill that remain down in the office area. The office area is open to you to come pick those up and to leave your offering for those things. And we need to get that collected as soon as possible so we can come back and report to you the success of Hog on the Hill. But while we still have outstanding disbursements and outstanding receipts, we can't do that for you. So I hope by next Sunday we can share with you the great result of Hog on the Hill as it goes to our shared ministries. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity in which we give unto you. We are so thankful for the many blessings of life, Lord. And as we say that, I know that we take our blessings for granted. But may we truly remember you, O God, as the source of all of our blessings, all good things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is our God Almighty, was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Father, we lift this praise and worship up to you this morning. You are worthy. You are worthy, and it is your name that we will forever lift high with our words, with our songs. And dear Lord, most of all, I pray with our actions and everything we do, may we reflect your glory to a world in need. In In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Let the people of God say, amen. Today we're going to look at the Gospel of John. So if you brought your Bibles with you or care to follow along on the screens, we're going to the 9th chapter of John's Gospel and looking at verses 1 through 11. May the people of God be inspired and filled with the wisdom found in God's holy word as we find it in John 9, 1 through 11. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And as he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He said, "I am the man." And they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. So, how many of you have seen the movie Big Fat Greek Wedding? Okay, good. So not too many of you will be lost. All right, so do you recall the line in the movie where Tula, basically the star of the show, wants to leave the Greek restaurant family business for a while and do something different? She's approached 30, and she feels like her life needs a change. So she goes to college classes and gets a lot of computer skills. And so her Aunt Vula has a travel agency that she thinks would be great to then put those skills to use and get her out of the restaurant business. But the thing is she knows that she's got to use her mother, Maria, to convince her father, Costas, that this is a good idea. And she knows that the only way to do that is to make sure he thinks it's his idea. So they sit down, and Maria basically presents the case to Costas. And she looks at Vula and says, "She suffers. She suffers. She suffers," Costas says. "Yes," she says, speaking about her husband, Kaki. She says, "I don't have enough time with him." Can you tell I've seen the movie a few times? Because those are the exact inflections of the voices. Okay. So why am I telling this on a time when we're going to talk about suffering? It's because I think this is kind of funny. For those of us who have hit 60, we have plenty of time with our husband. I just want to get that on out there. Okay. So I thought that was funny. But we know that suffering in and of itself is not funny. We know it's not. It happens far too often to far too many people, and we ache with them as they suffer. About 20 years ago, I was going through a pretty difficult time. Really difficult. I was in a church that just simply said they wanted to change, but didn't really want to do the things that they needed to do to change and grow. I mean, we had implemented a Hispanic ministry, which was wonderful and taking off, and there were bilingual classes, and we had gotten in more into contemporary and done some things to help grow the church in a town that was not growing. And still that constant resistance, it just wore me out. It just slap wore me out. And it had happened more than once in my ministry. And it was happening at a time in my life when both of my parents' health was going downhill just rapidly. And on top of that, I was raising two teenage girls. Now, I just realized in prayer that I just needed to take some time off. It wasn't financially the best idea, but I needed to do what I needed to do for myself and for my family. In the conference, they call that taking sabbatical. You're not usually rewarded very well for taking a year off on sabbatical when you come back for your next appointment, and thus was the case with me. But I was glad I took it. It was God's will, because the day after I took sabbatical, Daddy died, and 10 days before I came off sabbatical, Mother died. And in between the two, Katie graduated, and we got her ready for college, and we built a home. It wasn't much of a sabbatical. But the church that I went to next was a church that really needed some leadership and was struggling. And I had gotten there, like I said, in 10 days, you know, before Mother had passed, and she was my greatest cheerleader, and I miss her terribly. There were two ladies in the church, and they just kind of seemed to take me under their wing, and they happened to be sisters. One was much older than the other. The younger one was kind of close to my age, and one afternoon, she came to my office, and she was bearing a vase full of fresh-cut flowers from her garden. And she looked at me as she presented these, and she said, "You are the walking wounded." I said, "Oh, really? I'm walking around kind of sullen. I'll work on that, because I mean, you know, I'm here to kind of lift you all up. I don't need to be going around mopey." She goes, No. "No, you're doing fine," she said, "but I can tell your spirit is broken. Nobody can go through as much personal and professional loss in such a short period of time that wouldn't happen." And my years with that church started off that way, with my being assigned as their pastor to lift them up. But you see, in that first year, they worked really hard to cooperate and to work together and to love and support me. Suffering. People suffer every day. But on the flip side of that, people experience wonder every day. But for some reason, the effects of suffering hit us harder than the moments of wonder. Right now, we're so consumed in the news of the aftermath of the hurricanes. And then, if that were not enough, we're concerned about the safety of our nation. We've got mass shootings, mass protests, nuclear threats, messy politics, and we can't help but find ourselves being caught up in that. Being not only aware, but being caught up in it. We are subjected to suffering at some point in our lives. There may be people right here hearing my voice that are suffering. But like so many, they suffer quietly and silently. They don't want you to know about their pain. They feel like it will make them look weak. They feel like you will want to get into their business. Well, why is that happening to you? They feel like you may start judging as to the source of their suffering. So people quietly become self-induced martyrs, and they really don't want to be, but to share all of that suffering is to risk. To risk the response or the reaction. And sometimes our suffering is physical or mental or spiritual, but to even think that we can disconnect those three is a little not right, because they're so interconnected, because that's the way God made us. If you're suffering physically, that's going to affect your mental attitude, is it not? And it's therefore going to dampen your spirit. But we've been made with an interconnection of mind, body, and spirit since the beginning of time. So in this ninth chapter of the Gospel of John, we have Jesus on his way out of Jerusalem because he's been teaching in the temple. And as they're coming along the road, there at the city gate is this blind man. And they see him, and the disciples take this opportunity as they're walking along to get further educated. So they ask Jesus, "Jesus, this blind man here, what caused his blindness? Was it his sin or the sin of his parents?" Now, that may sound like a really strange question to you, but it's not. It's right on point with the Jewish culture. Because the Jewish culture believed that there was a cause and effect in everything, and it was spiritual. And so that anything that happened, God did it, and anything that happened was probably as a result of your sin. And that if you were suffering, then you were just simply being punished for your sins. There were even people who believed that a child sinned within the womb before they were born. And thus, this prompted the question by the disciples to Jesus. And Jesus clears up the matter. He says, neither this man nor his parents have sinned. It was basically saying we live in an imperfect and fallen world. And then he goes on to say, and this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So Jesus is simply clearing this up. He is saying God doesn't cause suffering to happen, but God is committed to you and committed to me to make sure that good comes out of this suffering. Now you think about the times that you have suffered, and at the time that it was happening, you thought, why? Thus the title of the message today, why? I mean, I'm pretty good old gal, pretty good old guy. I don't go around causing harm to people. I mean, I kind of mind my business. I watch my P's and Q's. I mean, I don't know. Why has this happened? Or why has this happened to my mother? Or why has this happened to my dad? Or why has this happened to my best friend, my loved one? And we ask why. We've lived long enough to think of times over our lives where we have suffered and we just don't know why. We've hoped for a miracle. We've looked deeper. We've prayed harder. We've gathered our friends, our family in prayer and just say, pray and hope for a miracle. But you see, we've got this preconceived idea of what that miracle ought to look like and ought to happen and the timeline for it. And God's got something better. God's got the greater vision, the greater timeline, and the greater answer. And God's just asking us to be still, as the psalmist says, and wait upon the Lord. And that's just hard to do when you're hurting or when someone you care about's hurting. So I look at this passage and I ask why. And these are some ideas that I've come up with just in my own limited understanding of maybe why. When I think of human suffering, the first thing I think of is sometimes human suffering happens due to human ignorance. There are many things we do willingly and knowingly. We don't realize that they're going to be detrimental in the long run. I loved what Georgia Seward was teaching in the Family Faith Gatherings class this week. She's a nutritionist, and she lifted up several things that we all know. And we all left even more confused than before. For instance, eggs. Remember? The whole egg was great. Then, oh, the yolk's bad. Cholesterol, heavy. Woo, go with whites. And now it's okay to have an egg again. Okay, some of you will like this. The glass of red wine. Oh, it's good for your heart. Go ahead. On the other side, it's full of sugar. Grains. Bread. It's one of the food groups that we learned, right? As a kid, you know? It's good for you. Whole grains, great for you. Oh, but you shouldn't have too many carbs. So what are we to do? We suffer in our ignorance. My granddaddy that served this church way, 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 way back. That's a picture of him. Oh, I'm going to say he was about 45 to 50. I'm going to say he was probably 50. Well, granddaddy lived in a time where the preacher was expected to come by the household and visit. Now, if I came knocking on your door unannounced, you wouldn't appreciate it. That's how much things have changed now. But back then, he was expected to do it. And, of course, most of the men were off working, and the wives were home and baking and cooking and tending to this and that and all that. So everybody kind of knew when Granddaddy Deadman would come by and call on him, because he kind of had a certain time of the afternoon that he would do this. Well, so the routine was he would go by and call on, say, Mrs. Jones, and Mrs. Jones would invite him in, and depending on the season, he would be offered a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea, along with a piece of chocolate pie. Well, he spends about 10, 15 minutes there, then goes on to see Mrs. Smith. Oh, Mrs. Smith invites him in and for a cup of coffee and a piece of apple cake. Well, you see his dilemma. He can't very well refuse Mrs. Jones and accept Mrs. Smith's, or vice versa, because they're going to get together and talk about it and say, well, Reverend Deadman really raved about my cake. Oh, really? He wouldn't have any my pie. So you can see the dilemma. And on top of that, I'm told that Granddaddy liked in the evening to smoke a pipe out on the porch, watch the neighborhood kids play. Well, he died 2 years before I was born, a very thin man of congestive heart failure, because he didn't know that just an innocent smoke of a pipe over several years would be bad for him. Not to mention eating lots of pies and cakes over a 40-year ministry. So sometimes we suffer, I think, due to ignorance. Secondly, I think sometimes we suffer because of things that happen due to our choices. The last time I flew, you know how it is. You got Dave Morano, you sure know how this is. You've got all the restaurants and bars on either side of the aisle as you're going through to your flight. And as we were passing through, I couldn't help but notice a lady who was obviously expecting. And she was standing in a bar with a drink in one hand, cigarette in the other. And I just silently grieved for that child that would come into the world with, if that continued, more than likely fetal alcohol syndrome. Because so many of the mental issues and physical issues sometimes of our children are due to poor choices by the mother as she's carrying the child. Throughout the Old Testament, we hear the words of God. He says, do this and you will live. And then we hear kind of what Jesus is saying in today's text. And this is judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than light because the deeds were evil. And because people didn't want to hear the truth and they turned away from him, and they turn away from him now. I mean, people don't want to come to church and hear about things they need to do that will challenge them to change their behavior. They don't want to come to church, their one full day off, and the preacher say something that makes them feel guilty or ashamed, or challenges them to maybe be more aware or try a little harder. I think a lot of people have this apathetic thing like, I'm trying my best and going to church isn't going to help. People are still turning away from Jesus. I'll never stand up before you on any given Sunday and try to pretend like I'm perfect and I don't need all this. I'm preaching to me every Sunday first. I need this. I hope you need this. Now, how do we go and convince the others they need it too? And thirdly, I think we also suffer because evil is alive and well in the world. I mean, if we think about it, God created a world, and every time he created something on each day, what did he say? And it was good. Because God created a world that was void of anything but good. Everything was good. So it makes no sense to ever blame God on the evil. I hear people say, well, what do you expect? God's going to destroy the world one day, so what do you expect? It's already happening. We see how easy that is? That takes humankind out of it. That takes sin out of it. Oh, it's God's doing that the world's fallen apart. I have to ask you this question. Why would God work against himself? Jesus overcame evil spirits. He overcame the temptations in the wilderness. He overcame his own death and grave. He grieved and wept for the death of Lazarus. He grieved for the woman who lost her child, the widow of Nain. And then he went up to the pinnacle before he faced the cross. And he looked down upon his beloved Jerusalem, his beloved Jerusalem. And he said, oh, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep. For if they will do this when the wood is green, what will they do to it when it is dry? So the mystery remains, why does God allow suffering among his people and in his world? Well, because we don't have the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, then you and I have to accept the understanding that we may never know the answer to that until we meet Jesus face to face. And I'm okay with that. Because if we knew everything, you and I would be little gods. And I'm really glad I don't have to judge the world. I'm really glad that's God's place. And I'm really glad that I don't have to keep up with everybody in the universe because I have a hard enough time keeping up with myself and my family. When I think of suffering, I can hardly think of anyone who suffered more than Jesus Christ. He did nothing wrong. He didn't suffer because of ignorance. He didn't suffer because of sin. And yet, in his suffering, he took on our sin so that we wouldn't live a life of suffering, but we would live a life of grace. And knowing that we were forgiven and knowing in the hope and the miracle of resurrection, we would be with God forever. In our belief. There's a story of a woman who was so faithful in her congregation, and you can think of some of the saints here at Asbury that would fit this description. Every time the doors were open, she was there. She worked and served in every capacity, every committee. I mean, every time there was something going on with the kitchen to help with this event or that event, taught Sunday school, just a whole bit. She loved her Lord, and she loved serving her Lord. Well, she contracted a terminal illness, and she contacted the pastor, and she said, Pastor, here's the deal. I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray with me a specific prayer. I want you to pray with me that I will live to have one last Christmas with my family. That's all I want. The pastor prayed that prayer with her. But come around Thanksgiving of that year, the illness took a turn for the worse and the lady died. It was close to Christmas and the pastor was sitting in the study and had a candle lit and just was being quiet in prayer. But that kept egging at him, you know? Why, Lord, didn't you allow this saint of a woman to have her prayer answered? It was just one small little thing. I don't understand. And then it came to him. A divine revelation, the Holy Spirit gave him the answer he needed so badly to feel a peace about the situation that he couldn't wait to go tell the family. And the answer was, God said, no, I didn't give her Christmas. I gave her something better, the glory and resurrection of Easter. Yeah. Don't you see, we ask for one thing and God gives something better. We live in a world of suffering, you know that. You suffer sometimes and so do I. Some people know that you're suffering, some people don't. Sometimes we can feel so isolated. And it doesn't help to try to compare your suffering with my suffering and so on and so forth, because nobody can go through that pain with you but you. And nobody can know how you've had to adjust because of what you're going through but you. And your spouse may love you, and your children may love you, and your friends and family and your church may love you, but the truth is, nobody can go through your suffering but you. And God, because God created us in a way that we would be in such a relationship with Him that He is not suspended from our spirits and our bodies and our minds and our thoughts, but He is with us. So when we suffer, God suffers. Do you believe that? Amen? Do you believe God suffered watching His Son on the cross? So we're not alone. We've never been alone, and we will never be alone. And that, my friends, we can believe and trust and find hope. I wish I could pray all the evil away. I wish I could love all the suffering away. I wish I could hope all the sin away. And I wish I could believe all the injustice and apathy away. But what I can do, and what you can do, is commit to helping someone else you know is suffering, to commit to let them know they're not alone. And you do that with an arm around them and a prayer for them going upward. And you let them know you are praying for them. And you don't say that flippantly like, oh, I'll be praying for you, and then forget about it. No, you commit to pray for them because it will make a difference. And they will feel the strength and the comfort from your prayers. Today you may be suffering. You may have someone sitting next to you who's suffering silently. They're private, they're reserved, they're guarded. But we're family. We know pretty well if someone's lost a loved one recently. We know if someone's been through a surgery recently and suffered. Some of us even know if there's difficulty with children and grandchildren, addictions, loss of work. So if there's anyone today that would like to come forward and to pray and have someone pray with them, I hope you'll do so, because I do believe praying helps alleviate our suffering. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. As that celebration band comes forward, I'd like for us to call in prayer. Most loving Father, we are so very grateful that we are not alone. We are so very thankful that we do not suffer alone. That you are with us, and your great cloud of witnesses, the saints of heaven and the saints of the family of God here on earth, are surrounding us with love and prayer. May we become more acutely aware of those who need just a gesture of compassion, so that we will reach out to them and they will know that someone cares about them as they suffer and cares about them as they feel joy. God, we thank you for Jesus who suffered all that we could live in joy forever. In his holy name, amen. Let us stand and prepare to sing our closing song here today. And again, if there are those here today who'd like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, like to come forward and profess your faith or become a part of this church, like to renew your profession, and would like to come forward and pray, I really hope you'll come forward and pray. Let us sing. As children of God, we've been called by Jesus Christ to go forth into this world where people are suffering. And they need you to speak to them, to care for them, to touch them, to share with them. May we do so with the confidence and the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.